Good morning, everybody. It is October 22nd, 2021. This is the ADK Homeroom, your home away from homeroom. I am your host, Frank, and welcome to the top seven dumbest pop culture moments of the week. Every Friday, we have fun with this one. Pop culture never fails to disappoint with moments of true stupidity. Things are great up here in the Adirondacks. Turning cold, getting dark as the earth spins and revolves around the sun, tilting away, this hemisphere tilting away from the sun this time of year, and it is pretty dark out there. The sun is still not yet peeking over the mountains, but when it does, it will be on some bare trees. We've had some rain, we've had some wind, and a lot of the leaves are down on the ground. Get ready for those Halloween events. Big Halloween party coming up a week from Saturday here. Still got a lot of soccer to play. Big hike coming up this weekend. All right, let's look. Top seven dumbest pop culture moments of the week. Number one, Montrezl Harrell of the Washington Bullets, NBA basketball team. Of course, it's actually the Washington Wizards, but I prefer to think of them as the Washington Bullets. Anyway, they used to be the Bullets, if you're not aware. Montrezl was hit with a technical foul this week when the Wizards were up in Toronto playing the Raptors. And why did Montrezl get this technical foul? Well, he was arguing with Drake. Yes, that's right. Aubrey Graham himself, Drake, Jimmy from Degrassi, if you were a big Degrassi fan. And if you are a big Degrassi fan and you haven't seen Drake's I'm Upset video, you have to see it. Absolutely fantastic reunion of all the Degrassi Next Generation cast, or at least most of them. So Drake was courtside, as is his wont, in Toronto. Last year he couldn't do it, of course, because the Raptors were, their home court was down in Miami, I guess, somewhere in Florida, because of COVID. Well, now they're back in Toronto, and Drake was courtside, and Montrezl got to jawing with Drake. That is not a good look, Montrezl. You can't take a technical for arguing with the fans, even if the fan is Drake. Cannot let him troll you like that. Got to rise above it. Look, the Raptors actually lost the game. Montrezl's team actually won. The Bullets ended up winning, which is great, by a lot, like 25 points or something, or 15 points. But it was not close. Still, so that's great. That's great for Mr. Harrell. His team did win, but that is not a wise move. All right, number two on the pop culture list of the week. Well, let's go to Tony Fauci. Now, is Dr. Fauci really pop culture? I tell you what, I see kids wearing Fauci face masks. I have a student who has an Anthony Fauci sticker on her laptop. So I'm saying he is. I'm saying Fauci is pop culture. And more evidence came out yesterday that this guy is just a straight up liar, right? About funding gain of function research in Wuhan. This letter comes out from the National Institute of Health to James Comer, representative from Kentucky, and the NIH says that EcoHealth's limited experiment tested whether spike proteins from naturally occurring bat coronaviruses circulating in China were capable of binding to the human ACE2 receptor in a mouse model. And then it goes on to say the lab mice infected with a modified virus became sicker than those that were given the unmodified virus. This is, of course, the definition of gain-of-function research, but Fauci, many times under oath, particularly or most famously with Rand Paul, Fauci has denied that the NIH funded gain-of-function research through EcoHealth over there at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. So, liar, liar, your pants are up in flames. Of course, this just fits everything that we would expect out of this. How do you know, by the way, how do you know that this is such a big deal? Well, look, in the same letter, the NIH also said, now that, you know, they are investigating this and this has come out, that EcoHealth and its director have 5 days to turn over all relevant findings and information from this newly uncovered experiment, which they say was unexpected. But, you know, so what? Doesn't matter if it was unexpected or not. It was still gain of function. So they have 5 days. I mean, come on. In bureaucrat language, 5 days. That is unbelievably fast, right? Bureaucratic world, 5 months is more the norm, if not years. EcoHealth has turned in several of their annual reports like 3 years late, 5 years late. So now 5 days. Are you kidding me? 5 days. That's the equivalent of like a parent screaming at your kids, get in here this instant. Nothing happens in 5 days in bureaucrat world. So to give them a 5-day deadline, that's the dad screaming at the kid, get in here right now. All right, number three. Let's keep moving through these here. Number three on the dumbest pop culture moment of the week. Well, here we're going back to the NBA. NBA Celtics games are off the air in China. You might be asking why. Well, I will tell you why. It is because Enes Kanter, who is from Turkey but has played in the NBA for years and years and years. He's been there like a decade now, and he's been very outspoken in the NBA. He has spoken out, calling out Erdogan in Turkey, and the dictator, really, I should say, of Turkey. And he has called him to task for his human rights violations. And now Kanter has taken on China. And he's taken on Xi, calling him out for human rights violations in Tibet. And poor Chinese folks now can't even get a Celtics game. On top of everything else that's going on in China right now, Evergrande, crackdown, no new video games for, what, the foreseeable future, indefinitely. And if you're a minor under 18, you're not allowed to play video games legally, except for 3 hours a week, 8 to 9 p.m., Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And China's just in an interesting place right now. These crackdowns are hitting almost every aspect of their society. Although I still point out to you, if they don't bail out Evergrande, which they might not, some people are calling it a shadow bailout what's happening right now. Evergrande managed to make a bond payment yesterday, I think. But, you know, I point out to you that if they do not bail out Evergrande, then they are actually behaving in a, you know, more capitalist way, more free way, more laissez-faire way than the United States did in 2008. And that should not be a surprise, because China has really been more capitalist economically, not politically, but has been more capitalist than the United States over the last 2 or 3 decades. So we'll see what happens there. But in addition to all of this, now you can't even get a Celtics game because Kanter has called out Xi. He has said, you know, that this is ridiculous, what's going on in China and take it over Tibet. And they are an evil, oppressive government. Well, good for Kanter. He's absolutely right. And I think it's a good point that people in China need to start resisting more. All right. Obviously, calling out Xi here, but if you're still in China, you've got some explaining to do. You should either be organizing the resistance or you should be getting the heck out of there, right? You can complain, or you could perhaps defend or rationalize the behavior of people staying in China and say, oh, well, they have censored internet. They don't really know what's going on. And there is a little bit of truth to that. But they have a pretty good clue, right? It's not like you're a hermit kingdom like North Korea. there's information that gets in and out of China. And it's time for them to step it up. You know, peaceful protests, pacifist protests. We should be having Tiananmen all day, all night over in China, and we are not getting it. They know enough, right? You look at the internet, you see Grass Mud Horse, you see Winnie the Pooh memes out there, and then they get taken down. You see actresses being disappeared, you see billionaires being disappeared, and people know. People know what's going on, and it's not like the borders are impervious. This is not East Berlin in 1971 where they will snipe you down, or you know, the DMZ between the Koreas right now where North Korea will snipe you down going across it. This is not Australia where Australia might not snipe you down, but they will definitely zap you down, right, if you try to violate their border. The tasers are out there. And so, look, if you can get in and out of China, and you're not in the protest movement, the resistance movement in China, then I'm calling you out. You've got some explaining to do, right? I'm here. I'm resisting. I am not in the classroom. And I think that we need more resistance out there. We need a heck of a lot more resistance out there. Let's see. Next, number four on the list, we have Candace Owens. Oh, Miss Owens went a bit too far on Tuesday. She was talking about Australia and their draconian lockdown measures. We seem to have a theme here of China and the NBA and Australia here. So talking about Australia, and she's right. They have tyranny going on there. They have draconian lockdown measures. They have an app where the Australian government, well, it's really, I think, it's one of the state governments. I think it's New South Wales. They will text you, and then you have 15 minutes to scan yourself with a facial recognition app and text back with geolocation info tagged onto your selfie to prove that you're in your cage, or rather apartment, excuse me. It's really a cage right now, like a good prisoner, that you're holed up like a good prisoner exactly where you're supposed to be. And they're proud of this. They think this is a fantastic idea. They have helicopters patrolling the skies. They have cops dragging people out of parks. And that's great for Candace to call that out. But then, one of the dumber moments of pop culture this week, Candace really really called for an invasion of Australia. She says, why aren't we invading Australia? Where is the call for sending troops to Australia to bring democracy to Australia? Wow. I'm not sure that Candace knows this. I think she probably does if she takes a minute to think about it. But of course, the leaders in Australia are democratically elected, right? The Liberal National Coalition, the coalition there is the center-right party. And they're polling at 46% right now. That's better than Biden in the United States. If the other major party wins, and any other scenario is basically unthinkable given the dominance of the parties there, so if Labor wins, they very well could be even more tyrannical. If you could imagine that, maybe they would get to snipers at that point instead of tasers. I don't know. I highly doubt it. But you never know. It could always get worse, folks. So the idea that we have to bring democracy to Australia, as Candace says, that's just dumb. That's just silly. People need to recognize, they've needed to recognize this for decades, that democracy is not the solution. Freedom is the solution. Respect for human rights is the solution. Capitalism, which of course is the removal of government force or any force from the marketplace, that is the solution. Democracy can be tyranny just as much as any other form of government can be tyranny. We are not a absolute democracy here in the United States. We are a republic. We are a constitutionally limited republic. so tired of people saying, every politician does it, that we have to bring democracy around the world. Very frustrating. Democracy is not what has made America great. It's freedom, it's respect for human rights. Pretty dumb of Candace Owens. Also, did she not learn anything from Afghanistan? Did she not learn anything from Iran? Has she not learned anything from these attempts at nation building, these invasions, Libya, that's still going on, right? There's still effects, still troops, still problems going on in Libya right now from what was supposed to be, I think, days, right? Hillary Clinton said something about we'll be here for days, not weeks, days, not months, days, not years. Yeah, well, it's still going on in Libya. All right. And so it's too soon. It's just too soon to make a joke out of that. Now, Candace was probably joking or being hyperbolic, right? It's true. She was probably making a funny. But you know what? It's too soon. You can't do that. After what happened in Afghanistan in August, it is too soon to be making jokes about invading other places, right? Just like in the dumbest pop culture moments of the week, right? There were a couple deaths and death-associated things out there that could easily make the dumbest pop culture moments of the week. But it's too soon to joke about things like that, and it's too soon to call them out for being dumb. You know, you just have to give a little bit of time and a little bit of space and a little bit of respect to people who have suffered. And it's not okay, in my opinion, to be calling out for an invasion of Australia. And by the way, you know, the lockdown in Australia isn't even working really well, right? If you look at the deaths per capita in Australia, it's really easy to find a bunch of countries who have better, lower deaths per capita than Australia, right? Nigeria, Nicaragua, Taiwan, and South Korea, of course, tons of other countries out there all doing better on the deaths per capita than Australia. So it's not even working. It's not even working, guys. Morrison, let's go, buddy. Okay, keep going here. Number five, dumbest pop culture moment of the week comes to us from the New York Times and The Guardian, actually. First, it was the New York Times. They ran an article saying why public health faces a crisis across the U.S. And then their loopy friends over at The Guardian. The Guardian is fantastic a lot of times, right? But it can still be loopy. And then over at The Guardian, they ran an article saying U.S. public health in crisis as COVID prompts curbs on officials' powers. And that was the thesis of the New York Times article, too. The New York Times, here's a quote from the New York Times article. It says, state and local health departments have endured a significant erosion in their authority during the pandemic. Are you kidding me? That is absurd. State and local health departments have endured a significant erosion in their authority during the pandemic? Are you kidding me? There has been no erosion during the pandemic of the authority. I never even considered my local health department before the pandemic. And now they're telling people how often they have to clean their classrooms, what's allowed in the classrooms, how close people can stand in their classrooms, what the windows in your classrooms have to be doing, who's allowed in your classroom, how I'm allowed to teach, what you wear in your classroom, right? Coming at this from a teacher perspective, because hello, that's me. So that is a huge, huge expansion of the powers of the public health department, not an erosion, right? Now, you can't say that this is just a reassertion of existing powers. No, it was not like this, not even in 1918 during, of course, the Spanish flu. The pandemic was much, 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 much worse. Right? In 1918, we're talking 1 to 5% of the world population in 1918, right? Maybe 20 million up to 50 million, some estimates died. And the world population was only like 1.5, 2 billion back at that time. So that 1 to 5% of the world population dying at that time And this pandemic, only about 0.06% of the world population, right? In 2020, the world population was still growing. It still grew at more than 1% per year. In 2020, the world population was still expanding. Yeah, that's how bad slash not bad the pandemic was in 2020. The world population kept on growing, right? And in 1918, that was probably the last time the world actually was declining in population. So huge differences there. The pandemic was much worse in 1918, and there was nothing like the exercise of power by the federal, the state, the local health departments. Nothing like these broad, sweeping, far-reaching measures that you have now. So you can't tell me, it is absurd to say that the local health departments have lost power during this pandemic. The Guardian does make it clear that what they're referring to is the recent legislation legislative attempts that have been made to restrict the power of the local governments and restrict their ability to put in place these mandates. But that's like saying, sure, you gained 300 gigawatts of power, and now we're asking you to put back 1 gigawatt of power, right? That's like saying, okay, you have all these new abilities, and maybe you have 36 new abilities, and now, oh, whoops, we're going to pass some legislation to say you have to give back half of one of those abilities, or you can only use it, you know, when cases pass a certain threshold or something. That's not eroding your power. That's taking 500 steps forward and then one step backward and saying, ooh, erosion of power, erosion of power. We went one step backward. Yeah, when you go 500 forward, and forward is a very dubious direction in this case, if you go 500 forward and one back, that is not an erosion of power. You are being absurd, New York Times and Guardian, and you should feel bad, man. Okay, number six, we got two more to go here. The College of St. Benedict and St. John's University. These are two colleges in the town of, wait for it, Collegeville, Minnesota. Yes, they actually seem to be one entity. Two colleges, but one entity. They seem to share a website. And yeah, their town is called Collegeville, Minnesota. Interesting. Personally, I like Northfield, Minnesota. They have two colleges, right? St. Olaf's and Carleton. If you haven't been out to Northfield, you should try to go there during Jesse James days. Wow, that is a fun time. So let's see. What's going on here at the College of St. Benedict and St. John's in Collegeville, Minnesota? It sounds like Powerpuff Girls, right? Townsville, Collegeville. So here's what's going on out there is that authorities, I think this means in Title IX empowered investigatory branches of these two colleges, authorities are investigating allegations that some male students were having a competition to see who could have the most sex. Mm-hmm. And there are protesters on campus. They want to force the men in these colleges to take a Men as Peacemakers Best Training Course, whatever that is, Men as Peacemakers Best Training Course. So here's the thing. Having sex is not a crime. Talking about it is not a crime. So I'm not sure that I see the avenue forward here. There doesn't seem to be any evidence of coercion. There doesn't seem to be any evidence of violence. All that seems to have happened here, and if I'm missing something, please let me know on Twitter. Please let me know in the comments. But it just looks like what happened here is some guys had some, you know, sexual escapades, and then they talked to their friends about it, and they compared notes. So this is crass and crude, and if my son did something like this, I would yell at him. But there are plenty of wrong things that should not be punished by the authorities, whoever those authorities may be. And it's true that to some extent, these colleges are private and they can do whatever the heck they want. If they were truly private, then I would surely be on board with saying they can do whatever the heck they want. But with the exception of Hillsdale, there really are not too many private institutions of higher learning out there these days, right? They are all on the dole to one extent or another. They're all accepting government money, taxpayer money, one way or another. And so they do fall under the public purview to some extent. And I feel it is very, very questionable what they are doing here. Maybe there are some details that I'm not aware of, but to me, it just looks like some students were talking about their sexual exploits, and there's nothing wrong legally or in a sense that could be punished with that. It's annoying, it's crude, it's crass. But you know what? There are ways to handle this yourselves, ladies. You can go all Liz Estrada for Halloween. You can just show teeth on all the campus TVs, right? There are ways to deal with things that you don't like that don't involve running to the authorities and using force. There are plenty of peaceful ways to go about handling these things, non-violent ways. All right, last one coming up. I guess we're going to stay on the topic of sex here. And this one is going back to China. A lot of China pop culture today. This is China's pop culture piano prince, right? Li Yundi. He's famous. He won the Chopin competition in, I think, the year 2000. He was maybe only 18 years old or something like that there. He's about 40 years old now. And he was just arrested in China for hiring a prostitute. I mean, come on, people. It's 2021. Are we not okay with sex work at this point? We should be. This is the next great libertarian success, by the way, right? Libertarians, sometimes they, and rightfully so, they're sitting on the sidelines of national politics looking at the major two parties and seeing which direction the major two parties and the median voter are going. And the libertarians are just like, really? I said that 20 years ago. Now you're going to be okay with that? I said that 40 years ago. And now you're taking it over? Whatever. Right? So some of these issues, for example, would be gay marriage. Libertarians, you know, been long pointing out that gay marriage is something that obviously should be tolerated, instituted, condoned by the authorities. Another one, drug legalization, right? That's finally becoming mainstream, and marijuana legalization sweeping the United States. And then you have on the sidelines libertarians looking at that saying, what? Come on. Why are you not voting for me? I said that these things should be happened 4 years ago. Do I not get some credit? Do I not get any credit at all for saying all along that this, now you're agreeing what should have been happened, what should have been the case all along, I've been saying all along is right, and you're still not voting for me? You're still not saying, oh, maybe I should listen to this guy? You're still not saying, hey, he knew what he was saying all along. Maybe we should look at what else this person is saying. Libertarians over there say, come on, give me a break. Well, anyway, the next clear success along those lines for libertarians is going to be sex work. We're almost there. We're almost there. A lot of public support for sex work. And, of course, libertarians have been saying for decades that sex work should not be criminalized. So, yeah, along with drug legalization, along with gay marriage, and along with things like, you know, the massive over-incarceration problem that we have here, these things are finally recognized by mainstream America as problems and things that need to be corrected. Sex work, I think, is going to be the next one, or is going to be one of the ones coming up soon to be decriminalized. It already de facto is in many ways in the United States. still not in some important ways as the people who are involved in the back page imbroglio can attest, but it's coming. It's coming. In the meantime, though, that was a pun. Sorry. It's Friday. Give me a break. All right. In the meantime, we have the Chinese Musicians Association over here saying it's going to revoke Lee's membership. He represents an extremely negative social impact. And actually, a lot of people commenting online, of course, these are only the comments that the CCP allows to come through and let stand, and their AI scouring the net are going to let stand. A lot of the comments online you see are people saying, oh, he's horrible now. I can't believe it. This is not the Lee that we know, right? Well, this is dumb. This is absolutely foolish. Nothing wrong with hiring a prostitute, at least not in the legally punishable sense. And this goes part and parcel with a lot of stupidity that is going on over in China right now. They've been disappearing people left and right. I guess Lee should be happy that at least he isn't getting the Fan Bingbing treatment or the Zhao Wei treatment or the Whitney Duan treatment. Now look, Fan and Zhao, they resurfaced. Whitney Duan is still missing over there, right? I think she's probably dead, but you don't know for sure. Obviously, she could be languishing in a concentration camp somewhere. And like I said earlier in the show, video games basically outlawed. New video games are outlawed in China right now. Kids banned from video games except for 8 to 9 p.m. Friday, Saturday, Sunday in China right now. Tons of crackdowns going on there. We will see what happens because of it. But for the moment, this is a really dumb idea. Really dumb to be calling out Lee and arresting him for hiring a prostitute. And my last word on the China topic is resist. Resist. People everywhere, United States too, need more of that resistance. More of the actual resistance. Not just posting things online. Not like the French resistance where you go along and you say vive la résistance and then you sit down and eat a baguette while the Nazis rule your country, right? If everybody who claimed they were in the résistance in World War II in France was actually in the résistance in France in World War II, then Vichy would have been toppled in like 2 days. Enough talk. We need some non-violent action out there, folks, all around the world. Let's have some resistance. So that's your thought going into this weekend. Be sure to subscribe. Be sure to find me on Twitter, ADK Homeroom. Take care, everyone.